This lecture is brought to you by the Orsemer Tape Library. The cassette library offers a wide range of lecturers and topics. For details, contact the Orsemer Tape Library branch nearest you.
We used to the idea of a person having dreams, or even, God forbid, having nightmares during his sleep. A couple nights ago, we were up all night. An all-nighter, sleepless night of Shavuos. Thought to myself, what does a person dream of in the night when he isn't sleeping? What sort of dreams are there? And what sort of nightmares are there? I'm sure that with all of the shiurim that were going on Shavuos night here in the yeshiva, with all the preparation, the learning, the days before Shavuos, the powerful atmosphere, a whole Beis Medrash filled with people learning all night, I'm sure that there were beautiful dreams, even without sleeping, the beautiful dreams of every Jew imagining himself back at Sinai, hearing the Rabbeinu Shel Olam speak to a nation, all raised to the highest level of prophecy, hearing Hashem say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Beautiful dream with all that we can envision about what that experience of Sinai was. On the other hand, a shoe is placed right in between the time when Jericho is given over to Arabs, before Shavuos, Gaza after Shavuos. It's a time for, not dreams, but of nightmares. The nightmares of the so-called peace. I don't know if any of you have noticed it. There are posters, little posters. A lot of people have them on their windshields of cars, along with all of the things saying, you know, that we're not giving back the Golan and Hebron is ours now and forever. There's a little poster, very artistically done, that said the word Shalom Blahot. And so you know what that means. You have to know a little bit of Hebrew to appreciate that. In Hebrew, a nightmare is called Chalom Blahot. A dream of nightmare. Chalom Blahot. Somebody decided it's a good play on words to call the peace a Shalom Blahot. A nightmare of peace. Dreams of Sinai. Nightmares of a peace which we have so many doubts about and so many anxieties about what sort of a peace it is, what it will be. First thing in terms of dreams and nightmares is that a nightmare can sometimes be turned into a dream. And I'm reminded, the first thing, reflecting back on Shavuos, the fascinating law, fascinating halacha connected to Shavuos. Yemora and Shulchan Aruch following it say, tell us that a Jew is not allowed to indulge in the medical practice of bloodletting on Erev Shavuos, the day before Shavuos. It's a very popular thing. Medically, a person had excess blood, was healthy for him, a little minor surgery which would relieve him of that excess blood. Hakozas dam. We'll come across with a lot in the Gemara. On Erev Shavuos, and in fact every Erev Yom Tov, Erev Pesach and Erev Sukkot as well, says the Gemara, you're not allowed to do that. Dangerous. Why is it dangerous? What's there about Erev Yom Tov that makes it dangerous to be involved in Hakozas Dam? Listen to the Gemara's explanation. Gemara says it all goes back to Erev Shavuos. And because it's dangerous on Erev Shavuos, the day before Shavuos, therefore, our sages dictated that we should not do it on the other Erev of Yom Tov as well. So we shouldn't get it mixed up with Shavuos. Why is it dangerous on Erev Shavuos? Says the Gemara as well. Because when it came Erev Shavuos 3,300 years ago, and the Torah was going to be offered to Klal Yisrael, there was offered. The Rebbeinu Shlomo came and he offered the Torah to Jews. And they said Na'aseh v'nishma. Sure, we want to take it. They weren't like the other nations who said, what is the fine print? We're ready to take it, but they could have easily have backed out of it. In fact, they were ready to back out of it. A mountain had to be placed on top of them to coerce them into taking the Torah. So on Erev Shavuos, says the Gemara, that day before Jews heard the Rabbi Hashem speak to them at Har Sinai, a ruach, ziko, a certain spirit, a devastating spirit went out to the world. It hovered over the Jewish nation. And had we not accepted the Torah on Shavuos, then that spirit would have destroyed us. That's a spirit by the name of Tavoyach. That's its name. Tavoyach is a word signifying slaughter. A spirit called slaughter, which would have slaughtered. Bisra v'damayu, the flesh and blood of Jewry, would have been wiped out had they not accepted the Torah. So every Erev Shavuos, Tulimo tells us, and it's our rule in Shulchan Aruch, every Erev Shavuos, we replay that scene. Every Erev Shavuos, it's as if the challenge is put to us again. Are you going to accept the Torah or not? And if not, the alternative is that spirit called Tavoyach, who's ready to slaughter. So it's dangerous. You're talking about a dangerous time, Erev Shavuos. So that's not a time to indulge in even that minor surgery of bloodletting. It's a time when there's danger lurking over the Jewish people. So don't indulge in anything which even has the slightest suggestion of a medical danger. That's the Gemara. But every time I look at that Gemara, and it's before Shavuos, ever I return to that Gemara, I shudder at the thought of every year that same drama repeating itself. Not a one-time thing. Thousands of years ago there was a challenge. Are you going to take the Torah or is it destruction? But every year that drama goes on again is relived. As if we're being asked, are you going to take the Torah? Are you going to accept it? And if not, that sword of that spirit hovers over us. You know, we had a powerful reminder, a powerful illustration a number of years ago, many years before, I believe all of you came to Eretz Yisrael, maybe there are individuals that are here, were here at that time. A number of years ago, on a Shavuos morning, Arab terrorists surfaced on a beach in Tel Aviv. You know what that means to come on a beach in Tel Aviv? What kind of a destruction they could have brought? And miraculously, security forces got there in time and put an end to their action before they could do any damage. When we heard about that after Shavuos, the reaction of every believing Jew was that we had just relived that drama. That it was an Erev Shavuos when these Arabs set out on their murderous mission. Because they had calculated, there would be many Jews on a holiday, there's enough secularist Jews who go to the beaches on Erev Shavuos. There would be many Jews on those beaches and they would have an easy time carrying out a massacre. And that Erev Shavuos, it was as if the Rabbeinu Shlomo was holding that Torah and saying, are you going to receive that Torah? Are you accepting it? And if not, there's that spirit of a Tavoyach. There's that Arab terrorism, the massacre. But Jews got together, we here at Osameach, and in every yeshiva, and every Bet Knesset, and every Beis Medrash throughout Yerushalayim, throughout Eretz Yisrael, throughout the world. Jews stayed up all night and learned Torah and said, we are taking that Torah. We repeated Na'aseh v'nishma. And it was certain to us, without any doubt, that it was that acceptance of the Veda that we made in that year, just a few years ago, that was responsible for the positive results, for a nightmare that could have been turning into a sweet dream of the rescue of lives. Because Jews were mekabel the Torah, they stayed up all night and learned, and that schus made it possible for that tragedy to be averted. Yes, there are nightmares that can be turned into dreams through the Kabbalah's Torah, but there are also dreams that unfortunately can be turned into nightmares. Nations like ours, in our time, when there's a dream of peace after so many years, wars, terrorism, so much bloodletting in our country, a dream that perhaps all of these negotiations can end up in an end to all of that, can end up in a sweet dream of peace. What happens right after Shavuos? Again, the dream turns into a nightmare. And the leader of that terrorist organization, the tape is played for the entire world, the cassette of what he said to a gathering of Muslims in South Africa. Is it Johannesburg? Yeah, Johannesburg. But Arafat got up and said, well, Jerusalem belongs to the Jews, Jerusalem belongs to Islam. All Muslims should come and join in the jihad, holy war. Come to Jerusalem and liberate it from the Jews. That's the man we made peace with. And the dream suddenly turns into a nightmare, with even those who were so involved in the peace process beginning to question whether there can be any peace with such an enemy. Time like this, we have to do two things. It's not enough to just recognize who our enemy is and to hear the statements of an Arafat confirm our suspicions of how much we can trust him. There's also a need for the Jews that are living in Eretz Yisrael. We need to have a chizuk. We have to strengthen ourselves in our commitment that this is our city and this is our country and what it means to live here. First, in the recognizing of the enemy, you know, when I heard those words on the radio just yesterday, Arafat talking to a group of black Muslims, huh? I don't think there were white Muslims there. What were they, black Muslims? Ruby, what do you say? The ones he was talking to in South Africa. Basically blacks, right? Indians. No, I thought of that strange coalition being invited by Mandela, his great friend, that great coalition of the South African blacks with the Palestinian Arabs. We called a medrash, famous medrash, we hear it all the time, that when the Rabbeinu Shlomo came to offer B'nai Yisrael the Torah, he first went around to all the nations of the world and he offered it to them. And each one of them rejected it. Each one rejected it based on it being an impossible demand on the national character of that people. Rabbeinu Shlomo comes to the sons of Esav, to the descendants of Esav, and he says, you want to take the Torah? And they say, what does it say in it? What does it say in your Ten Commandments? And Moshe says, Leisilsav, don't murder. We? You're asking us to avoid murder? Our grandfather, Esav, Yadayim Yidei Esav, the hands, that's the power of Esav. His father, Yaakov, said to him, Al-Chal B'chotichya, you'll live by your sword. Our whole national character. How do they call it today? Hagdara. Atzmit, self-determination, that each nation has its personality. You expect us to change our personality? And when he came to the B'nai Amon, who Their nation began through the incest of Lot and his daughters. And the Bereshit says to them, it says, Lesinatha, shall God commit adultery? He says, it's our national character, is adultery and incest. You want us to change our national character? Most interesting of all, he came to the Bnei Yishmael. And the Bnei Yishmael asked, what does it say in that thing? Bnei Yishmael says, so the Bereshit says, Lesignav. You know what Lesignav means? What's the Lesignav in the Ten Commandments? What kind of stealing is that? It's not ordinary stealing. It's kidnapping. The Bnei Yishmael, and historically, were the ones who dealt in the slave trade of the blacks. They were the ones who sold the blacks into slavery into America. They were the ones who say, Lesignav, you expect us to change our national character? We live on that. We thrive on that. What was said about Yishmael? Yishmael, the father of that nation. Yodei Bakoil, his hand is in everyone. That means literally that he's the one who manipulated and took lives, took away people and sold them into slavery. The irony of that Arab who sold the ancestors of those people into slavery. This is the coalition. As long as it comes against Jews, they can get together. But let's put aside the enemy. That's not what interests us at this moment. How do we as Jews who have a special love for Eretz Yisrael, have a special attachment to Eretz Yisrael, whether we've come here to live with our families and to raise our families here, whether we've come for a while and explore the idea of perhaps settling in Eretz Yisrael. How do we look at these tremendous challenges, this problem of whether living today in Eretz Yisrael is a dream or a nightmare? How do we deal with it? Yesterday I was at the Kosel. I bumped into a Mayor Schuster. I asked him, Mayor, how's business? How's it going? People at the Kosel, people in Heritage House, says terrible. Occupancy is down to a third. Hotels, from Jews gone, empty. People are afraid. The dream of Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, of visiting Eretz Yisrael, has suddenly become a nightmare of insecurity. Time like that, it's so important for us to take a look back at what Eretz Yisrael means for us and how we're supposed to take a view of it. Let me share with you two gemaras. Two gemaras that perhaps explain for us in the most graphic terms how we're to look at this challenge of living, of learning, of growing in Eretz Yisrael. Both of the gemaras have one common denominator. They both revolve around the term Na'aseh v'Nishma. Na'aseh v'Nishma, when Jews said, not like the Bnei Yishmael, and not like the Bnei Amram, not like the Bnei Esav, what does it say? They still tell, they signal, they sinaf. But Jews said, Na'aseh v'Nishma, we'll take the honesty. Two gemaras. Listen carefully to both of them. The first is a gemara in Shabbos. Gemara tells us that Rava, we learn Rava, sweat over the words of Rava, trying to understand what Rava says in Halach and the Gemara. Rava was once deeply involved in learning a sugya. And when Rava learned a sugya, he was into it, totally immersed in it, totally oblivious of his surroundings. The Gemara describes what that oblivion, the point that it reached. He was sitting with his feet upon his fingers, and there was blood oozing out of his fingers. But the Rava was so deeply involved in what he was learning, he was completely unconscious of what was going on. Completely oblivious to any pain. Next to him stood a Stuki and watched. Stuki, that's a non-Jewish cynic making fun of Jewish commitment and Jewish practice. And this Stuki looks at Rava and he says to him, Listen to the words. Because these words come will be echoed again in the second story. He says to him, Ama Paziza, you are an impulsive people. Where was your impulsiveness way back? Thousands of years ago you were impulsive. Dekadmitu pumaychu liudnaychu. You put your mouth before your ears. What did you do? You said, Nasa v'nishma. You didn't hear what was expected of you. You put your mouth before your ears. Akati b'zisaychu kainisu. You're still the same impulsive people. Look at you. Look how impulsive you are. That's thought out. That's the way it is. You don't take care of yourself. Blood is oozing out of your fingers. What kind of a people are you? This is the challenge that Tzduki threw at Rava. We'll come back to what Rava answered. There's another story. The story of Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira was one of the great Talmudic sages who dreamed for years and years of coming to Eretz Yisrael. He lived in Babylon, for many, many years, and his dream was to come to Eretz Yisrael. Finally, after many preparations, many delays, he finally made it. And here he is, and all that's standing between him and Eretz Yisrael is to have to cross a river. But he missed the ferry that takes people across that river. And it would mean he'd have to wait, who knows, or to detail it, whether it's a question of hours, a question of days, he'd have to wait for the next ferry. It didn't come every 5 minutes. But there was an alternative route across that river. There was a primitive bridge. You've seen perhaps pictures of these primitive bridges, a log that was thrown across from one side of the river to the other, and overhead a rope suspended one to the other, and you walk along on that log, holding on for balance with the hands overhand or on the rope, with every moment the danger of slipping off that log and into the river. And the Rav Zeira, no ferry, Zeira goes along on that rickety primitive bridge. Along that log, with his hand going hand over that rope, and who should be standing on the shore looking at this and laughing? Another Snooki. This Snooki again, what does he say to Rava? I'm a Paziza! Impulsive people! You were impulsive back at Sinai? You said you couldn't wait? Why didn't you wait to see what it says in the Torah? Why did you have to accept it right away? You were impulsive! You're still impulsive! Look how impulsive, how impatient you are! Why don't you wait for the ferry to come? Go across in a comfortable, secure way. Why are you knocking yourself out to go on such a rickety bridge in such an insecure and difficult way? You're impulsive! So we have Rava immersed in the sugi of Gemara, oblivious to any kind of pain, any kind of suffering, oblivious to the world around him, and being challenged, he's perpetuating the impulsiveness of the Jewish people who said Na'aseh v'nishma. And we have Rav Zeira, years apart, miles apart, in a scene entering Eretz Yisrael, walking along a rickety primitive bridge, and also being accused of impulsiveness. He doesn't wait for the ferry to come. Both cases, the Jew is being accused of being not careful in his thinking, being impulsive, and saying Na'aseh v'nishma. Those are the questions that were thrown at them. Now let's look at the answers. Take them one at a time. We'll start with Rav Zeira. We'll go back from second to first. You know what Rav Zeira answered? When he told him, you're impulsive, why don't you wait for the ferry? Rav Zeira said to him, Duchtavi Moshe v'Aaron lo zachu. You know what they're talking about? He says, what do you think I'm going to? I'm going to Uganda? I'm going to the United States? I'm going to South Africa? I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is a place that the greatest people in our history, Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen, didn't enter it. They were buried outside of Eretz Yisrael. Mi Yena, says Rav Zeira, who says that if I delay 1 minute more, who says that I will ever merit entering that land? I can't wait. The opportunity has come. I have to grab it right now. Now that Gemara always reminds me of my own situation about 32 years ago when first planning a move with my family to Eretz Yisrael. Not an easy matter. Wife, a child, a second child on the way. Very established already in my professional life, in my personal life, in the country that I'd grown up all those years. It was a very difficult move to make, and many things kept coming up, even though my wife and I already had made a commitment to come to Eretz Yisrael. There were always reasons for putting it off. Everybody has reasons for putting it off. That's why so many people are still in Chutz Lo'aretz. And there were reasons on a personal reasons. Would be better, wait, have the child there, come afterward. Professionally, in all the positions that I held then, there were so many reasons for putting it off. And every time those reasons began to mount and present a barrier, you know what I used to do? I used to go take open a Gemara Ksubis, turn to the end of Gemara Ksubis and read that story of Reb Zeir. And then I would go and reconfirm my booking for flights on El Al. Every time those words just hit me like a bomb. To the Moshe Ba'alam Ezekiel, a place that Moshe Ba'alam didn't make it. Who says that if you put it off any longer, you'll ever make it? What kind of a schus is it required to be able to make it to come to Eretz Yisrael? That's what Rabbi Zeira answered his Suzuki. Now let's see what Rava answered his Suzuki, and then try to put it together. Because the Gemara tells us the same kind of a question in two places. It invites a comparison, invites the interpretation of a pattern. What does Rava answer? Here's the Stuki saying to him, what's the matter with you people? Did you know what you were getting yourself into? Why weren't you mature and well thought out like all the other nations of the world who first asked, what does it say there? Because if it's going to ask for something, if the Rabbi Shem is going to ask something which is too difficult, so the nations of the world said, we can't do it, we can't live up to that challenge. You didn't have the sense for that, to do that, says the Stuki. You didn't have the sense to realize that maybe you're taking on too much. And the proof of it is a sense, take a look at you now. You took on too much. Look what the Torah requires of you. It requires of you that kind of an intensity that the blood is oozing from your fingers. Familiar words. The blood oozing from the fingers is much more than just a question of the individual story of Rava. Don't we hear this all the time? Don't we hear this from parents? Don't we hear this from friends, from neighbors, from classmates of old? We hear, what are you doing to yourself? What are you giving up? You're giving up career. You're giving up comfort. You're giving up time. You're giving up so much. The blood is oozing from your fingers. Maybe you took on too much. That's what the Stuki asked Rava. That's not normal. It's not normal for a person to be able to be so involved in his learning of Torah that he's completely oblivious to the world around him and he can rise above material pain and bodily pressures. Is that normal? It's too much! And you made a mistake, he says, when you said Nas Avinishma, when you put your mouth before your ears. You know what Rava answered it? What does Rava answer? Says, you know what the difference between the Jewish response to the Rabbi Shem's invitation to take the Torah and the non-Jewish response? I'll put it in a nutshell, he says. The difference is this. We approached God with trust, and you approached Him with suspicion. The trust that a Jew approached when he said Na'aseh v'nishma was this. The Rabbi Shem loves us as we love Him. And someone who loves you, you don't suspect that he's going to ask the impossible of you. And we ask nothing of the Rabbeinu Shlom, tell us what it says there. Because we knew that if the Rabbeinu Shlom is offering us a Torah, no matter how difficult it is, he's going to give us the ability to fulfill it, to learn and to understand and to live by it. You, he says to the Suki, representing and speaking to all the nations of the world, you approach them with suspicion. Maybe he's trying to put something over on us. Maybe he's trying to demand something for us that we can't live up to. We can't live up to the Silsa, the Sinop, and the Signoi. Not us! The Jews said to us in the Nishma, you know what he was saying? It may be tough as nails to understand the Sukhya and the Gemara. It may be tough to live like a Jew, to eat like a Jew, to dress like a Jew, to function as a Jew in an alien in a hostile society. But if the Rabbeinu Shlomo asks anything of us to live by those laws, he'll give us the power to be able to do it, to succeed. That's what the Ansa Benishma is all about. That's what the Rabbi answered it. The faith of the Jew, simple faith, he calls it tmimus. Perfect trust, perfect faith. Approaching the Rabbeinu Shlomo. That Rabbi said to his stuki, now apply it to what Rabbi Zeira said to his stuki. He asks Rabbi Zeira, what are you knocking yourself out walking on that bridge over there, walking to Eretz Yisrael in that kind of a primitive way? Maybe it's not worth the effort. Maybe what you're going to find on the other side is just as difficult as the bridge that you're crossing now. Maybe you're taking on something beyond your capabilities. You did that once before. You did it with Na'aseh v'Nishma. Na'aseh v'Nishma, what did you do? You were impatient, you were impulsive, you didn't find out what's being asked of you. Maybe your whole entry into Eretz Yisrael is symbolic of what you're going to be living over there in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe you're going to be faced with malaria and with desert and with starvation and with terrorists and all of the dangers that Jews face throughout all the generations in Eretz Yisrael. It was never a rose garden in Eretz Yisrael. There were always problems, whether it was disease or it was hunger, it was enemies, it was terrorists, it was wars. Well, do you know what you're getting yourself into? And what does Rabbi Zeira say? Simply, it's a schus to enter Eretz Yisrael. Moshe and Aaron would have given everything in the world if they could have entered Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu prayed countless prayers, hundreds and hundreds of tefillot, kiminyan v'etchanon. He prayed and prayed that the Rabbeinu Shalom give him an opportunity just to enter Eretz Yisrael. That's a place that Moshe and Aaron so longed for. So they understood that Eretz Yisrael, no matter what the challenges are here, the Rabbeinu Shalom wants us to have this country, because this is the palace of the king, because this is where a Jew can fulfill himself in the greatest measure, can fulfill his spiritual potential, then there is no such thing as an impossibility. Then all the challenges that there are over here, whether they be malaria, or they be hunger, or they be terrorism, or they be war, the Rabbeinu Shalom will give us the opportunity, the ability, to overcome every one of those. That was the answer for Torah. That was the answer for mitzvahs. That was Na'aseh v'Nishma that Rava said. And that was also the Na'aseh v'Nishma that in the story of Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira says, it's a schus to enter Eretz Yisrael. I have to take the first opportunity. Not every Jew is zeicha. How much, what percentage of our people in the last 2,000 years have been able to be zeicha to come to Eretz Yisrael? Jews who dreamed once of just having a little bit of pouch of Eretz Yisrael earth placed in their grave, whose fondest dream was that perhaps they would be zeichet to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. What small percentage of them made even that? And we in our lifetime that have been zeichet to come here, to learn here, to live here, we have to appreciate what the Rav Seder said then. What a tremendous schus this is. And because we have that schus, we can't be intimidated by all the pressures around us. We have to be strong in our commitment. You know, that Russia over there, that Arafat speaks about a jihad, about a holy war. You know that holy war that he's talking about, that he's asking Muslims to come? The holy war that the Arabs have in mind is not only just a question, it's not just the Muslim side of the Christian crusade to liberate Jerusalem. Not only by war, they know also there's another way. It's a way that they started back, and they started back in the years in the 20s, in the 29 massacre in Hebron, and the pogroms that Arabs made throughout all those years prior to statehood. What was their hope? That they make it difficult for Jews to live in Eretz Yisrael, and Jews will give up on living here. They'll become too uncomfortable. And the dream of Aliyah and the dream of Eretz Yisrael being a Jewish land will be forgotten. They'll turn it into a nightmare, they thought. And Jews will forget about the dream. They tried that in all those years, in all of those uprisings, in all those incidents. But a massacre of the Yeshiva Bochum in Hebron in 1929. And when Kakajay and his irregular troops carried out their pogroms in Jerusalem and everywhere else in the 30s. And the Mufti of Yerushalayim, Yimach Shemay V'Zichroi, with his Hitleristic ideas and his alliance with Hitler, talked constantly and incited mobs against Jews. Alihum! All of those Arab riots were calculated to one thing, that Jews will get tired and they won't want to be here anymore. That's been the Arab jihad. That's been the Arab holy war against us. The attempt to make it so difficult to live here, so uncomfortable, the Jews will leave Eretz Yisrael, those that are here, that those who aren't here will stop coming, that the Jews abroad will get tired supporting a land of Eretz Yisrael. That's their dream and our nightmare. Time when we see, when we hear a man who is supposed to be making a peace agreement, calling for a jihad, calling for a holy war to liberate Yerushalayim, it's time for us to be mechazik ourselves based on these stories, the story of Rava, the story of Rav Zera, and realize that we have a special kriyah, we have a secret weapon which will assure that we will not get tired of living in Eretz Yisrael. We will not be discouraged. And we will not leave Eretz Yisrael, and Jews will not stop coming. Our secret weapon is Na'aseh V'Nishma. Na'aseh V'Nishma that was said then and was repeated in those stories is a simple declaration of faith by a Jew that Rabbeinu Shlomo meant this land for us. And when he told Avraham Avinu, and he repeated it to Yitzchak, and he said to Yaakov, and he told our Ovid, that I'm giving your children, your descendants, I'm giving Eretz Yisrael to them, Eretz Yisrael is going to be gained in a very difficult way. The Gemara says that Eretz Yisrael is one of the three gifts, along with Torah, and along with Olam Haba. It's a gift that Rabbeinu Shem gave, but there's a price to be paid for it. It's a matana which is given with Yisurim, the suffering. You can't get it by just walking in a rose garden. It comes with thorns. It comes with pain. But it's worth it. And just as Torah comes with pain, and that's the metaphor of Rava sitting there with his blood oozing from his fingers, that means all the pain that there is involved in Torah. We just learned just before Shavuos, the last Mishnah, the last Perek in Pirkei Avos. What does it say? What does the Talmud say? Kachida kashatayra. What's the way that a person can be zeicha to success in his learning of Torah? He's got to be ready of pasta melachtecha al mayim v'msuchatishte al oretz tishan. He's got to be ready to settle if he doesn't have the greatest meal in the world. He doesn't have such a great lunch, but he has just plain hard bread. And he has only a little water to drink. And he doesn't even have a bed to sleep on. He has to sleep on the ground. You have to be ready. If that's all you have, you have to be ready even with that to learn to. And then the Talmud goes on. He says, the Chai Yitzhar Tichye. This is something all of us will appreciate. Chai Yitzhar Tichye. That besides that, you have to be ready to live a life of faith. What does it mean after we just discussed all of that? What is the time I had over here? Live a life of pain. We already talked about settling for bare bread and water and sleeping on the floor. What else is there? What other aspect? What other dimension of pain is there? Say the Mefoshim on Pirkei Avos. The only pain in learning Torah is physical discomfort. It's having to do with a yeshiva meal or sleeping in a hard yeshiva bed or on the floor. Is that all there is? Besides the aspect of physical discomfort, what about all the psychological challenges that there are? What about the frustration that a Jew has? A Jew he got his bachelor's, he's got his master's degree from university, he's an accomplished secular scholar, and he comes into a gemara, sits in front of a gemara, and breaks his teeth over Aramaic. How much frustration is there in that? And trying to break through the language barrier of a Gemara. And then trying to penetrate the meaning of Rashi and Tosfos and Rishonim and Achronim. How much of a psychological challenge is there? How much pain is there? In forcing yourself to sit in front of a Gemara hour after hour after hour, day after day. How much frustration is there in not being able to retain everything that we learned? Struggling to remember what we learned last week and last month. There's pain involved in it. But it's pain with a guarantee. The Rabbi Hashem says there's a surefire thing. You'll suffer that pain. You'll make the sacrifices. You'll weather the discomforts. You'll succeed. Because you said, Nasev and Nishma, you trusted me, and I don't ask the impossible. You'll succeed in Torah, even though it comes with a lot of Yisurim. That's what we as Jews living in Eretz Yisrael have to realize in regard to Eretz Yisrael as well. We'll succeed. We won't be tired of staying here. We won't leave. We won't leave Yerushalayim. We won't leave Eretz Yisrael. And Jews will not stop coming here. And Jews will not stop supporting Eretz Yisrael. Because the Rabbi Shalom doesn't ask the impossible. And if he gave us Eretz Yisrael, and he gave it to us, and we have to understand that as Torah Jews, why he gave it to us. Don't look at it in a narrow secularist nationalist way as a land where Jews need a country of their own. No! He gave it to us because this is the place where the Jew can fulfill his spiritual potential. This is where the Jew can become the real Ben Torah, the real Talmud Chacham, the real Shomer Mitzvahs. The quality of Torah in Eretz Yisrael is incomparable to the Torah learned anywhere else. Ain't Torah can take us Eretz Yisrael. The quality of Mitzvahs. It's not the same when you do it here, you do it anywhere else. Don't we feel it? Isn't this the cradle of our own development, of our own growth? And even those of us like myself who were privileged to learn for many years before they came to Eretz Yisrael, what a difference there is, what a difference every Ben Torah has felt coming to Eretz Yisrael. The Rebbeinu Shlom gave us this country, this sacred country, this sacred atmosphere, this place that is higher than the entire world. For a purpose. And he knows the challenges that are involved, and he knows the pain. But he also knows that he gave us the koyach to weather the pain and to successfully meet the challenges. So when we talk about dreams, when we talk about nightmares, after Shavuos, we can certainly say to ourselves that having lived through an Asav and Nishma, having experienced once again what Jews experienced when they said Asav and Nishma the first time, having lived through this experience of Shavuos, which I think for all of us, we're now beginning to absorb that tremendous experience of what Shavuos night was and Shavuos day and the whole experience of learning and then of davening at the Kaisel and the davening, the learning, the whole experience of Shavuos. Such a mighty, such a powerful, powerful experience. Just beginning to absorb it and to understand it. That's what it really meant was that the Jew said, I have a lot of dreams in all of us sitting here. We have dreams of breaking through in the language barriers, breaking through in the understanding barriers, breaking through every barrier that stands in the way, becoming B'nai Torah, becoming Talmidei Chachamim, becoming Torah scholars who not only can learn every part of the Torah on their own, who are not dependent on shiurim, don't have to be spoon-fed, that will be able to learn wherever they are, at any place, in any part of the Torah, to learn and to understand and to even share their learning and to teach others. That's the dream we have. That's the dream we had in Shavuos. That's the dream that a Jew had in a night when he doesn't sleep and he's up all night learning and listening to shiurim. The dream of what I can become in Torah. And the dream, knowing that our dream will come true. That confidence of Na'aseh v'Nishma. That's what we said on Shavuos. Na'aseh v'Nishma, Rabbeinu Shem will make our dream come true despite every problem, despite every pain, and the blood can be oozing from my fingers. And I can be making every sacrifice, and I can be suffering every physical, material, and psychological problem. And I'll make it. Because Rabbeinu Shem doesn't expect the impossible. I'd like to close with one idea that perhaps expresses it all of that Jewish confidence. A story I heard many years ago from the Mashgiach of the Yeshiva where I learned, and I want to share it with you. The famous tzaddik, Zalman Volozhiner, once involved in learning in a sugya. He was learning a Gemara, and he came across a problem. Kasha he has. And he's struggling to answer this kasha. He can't go on. He wants to go on to the next piece. Can't go on. You know what happens when you have a kasha in a gemara? Can't move. Then he remembered, you know what? He remembers once that he saw this kasha in the Rashba. One of the great commentaries on the gemara. Oh no, it's very simple. All you gotta do is get a Rashba now and look inside and he'll be able to go further. But there's a problem. Between him and the room that had the svarim in it, in his library, there was a tremendous closet stood there blocking the way. That would normally take some few people to move it. And the entrance around the other side where there was a door, he was locked and he didn't have a key. So here he is. He can't go further. He's got to find the Rashba, but he can't get to the Rashba because this closet is in the way. So what does he do? He stands up and says to himself like this. It says in the Torah, Loi v'shamayivi. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael, the Torah is not in heaven. You don't have a hard time learning Torah because you don't have to go up to heaven to get it. It was given to us. Moshe Rabbeinu brought down the Torah, the whole Torah from heaven. You don't have to go up. So Rashi says on the spot there, Mashma, the Ila B'Shemayimi, what if the Torah would have been left in heaven? Then we would have been required to go up to heaven and get it. Moshe Rabbeinu says, but God made it easy for you. He didn't require you to go up to heaven. He had it brought down to you on a silver platter. But if not, you would have had to go up to heaven. So this is what he did. So he stood up this great tzaddik, with a zalman, and he sets himself, starts pacing back and forth, and says like this. Lei b'shamayim, it's not in heaven. And Rashi says that if it were in heaven, I'd have to go up and get it. That means that I would be able to go up and get it. How do you get up to heaven? That means that God would have made it possible for us to develop the spaceships. Whatever you need, you would have been able to do it, because if it's in heaven and you can't get it any other way, then Rabbeinu Shem would have said, given you the courage to go up to heaven. No, that means that nothing can stand in your way. He walked over to the closet, pushed it aside, and got his rashba. He's able to go on. The commitment that a Jew has, that's what's going to be as clear as day for us. Both in regard to Torah, both in regard to Eretz Yisrael. Rabbeinu Shem, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bo Betzuni Yem HaBriyos. Rabbeinu Shem has come and asked for the impossible from this creature. He gave us a Torah, and he wanted us to understand the Torah, that nothing can stand in your way. You'll break through every barrier you have to your learning. You'll grow from day to day, from year to year, and you can become the Talmidei Chachamim that you have dreams of becoming. Because if he asked for you to say it, and he wants you to do it, if we're in heaven, if you'd be able to go up and get it, certainly if it's on earth, you'll be able to get it. And the same thing is true in regard to Eretz Yisrael as well. So Rabbeinu Shlomo said, I want you to be in Eretz Yisrael. I want you to grow from Eretz Yisrael. I want you to develop yourselves from Eretz Yisrael. And no amount of problems over here, no amount of terrorists, and no amount of jihads and Arafat and all of those rishayim will be able to discourage us from staying here. This is what a Jew said then, and that's what a Jew says today. Na'aseh v'Nishma, in regard to the Jews' growth in Torah, Nasa v'Nishma also in the Jews' commitment to Eretz Yisrael.